Rob, thank you so much for having me again, and it's always a blessing to be on the show, and hello to all of you out there in Radio Land, or whatever the official name is. And so Rob kind of teed up things for us this morning with some of the topics that we're going to cover. But before we get into any of those specifics, we have to talk about the one biblical truth that ties all of them together, the linchpin, if you will, and one of the most important keys to understanding this book that is in virtually every motel room, and which is obviously the world's best-selling book of all time, the Bible, many versions today. We in the Living Truth Fellowship are maybe 2 to 3 weeks away, something like that, from releasing a foundational class called One Day with the Creator. It's a little less than 24 hours, actually, but it is a systematic curriculum, a systematic teaching of the Word of God, so that if you have never opened it or if you've read it all your life, either way, you can sit down and be taken through a course of study that will give you every one of the inherent keys to opening the book for yourself and understanding what you're reading. Now, not just as an intellectual exercise, but to get to know the author of the book and his wonderful son, Jesus Christ. And so that's what this is all about. We're not just wanting to learn the Bible so we can win an argument with someone or something like that. We want to know Jesus Christ, and so that he can help us through the vicissitudes of life, because the world is a terrifying place, and a lot of bad stuff, as Rob said, is happening. And I think perhaps the biggest key to understanding the scripture, and something that will be laid out in detail in our forthcoming class, is what parts of the Bible are written to Christians today and what parts are written to Jews or Israel, God's chosen people in the Old Testament, or in the book of Revelation. In other words, in the past or in the future. And failure to recognize what parts are written to you if you're a Christian today and what parts are written for people in the past or in the future has caused no end of confusion. And worse, it's caused incredible division, even to the point of people literally fighting with each other and causing bodily harm. And all of that would be eliminated if people, Christian people, would quit reading other people's mail and trying to act on it. We want to read those parts of Scripture that are written to us. Now, the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, ushered in the birth of Christianity. Jesus never met a Christian. He never talked to a Christian. He never heard of Christianity. It was after his death and resurrection and ascension that he poured out the gift of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the Christian church born. Now, what that means is that for the first time ever, salvation was permanent, because as we read about what happened on the day of Pentecost in Scripture unfolded subsequently, in other words, after that day, as God began through Paul primarily to unfold, hey, here's what happened on the day of Pentecost, and here's what you guys have in Christ. You are members of the body of Christ, and you are born again of incorruptible seed. So the hallmark of Christianity, beginning on the day of Pentecost and ending with what some people call the rapture, some call it the gathering together, some call it the big snatch. The point is, in a split second, every Christian will instantly vanish off the earth, Jesus will catch us up together to meet him in the air for a while, and then we come back with him and so forth. But until that time, the difference, the main difference between Scripture written to Christians and Scripture written to people in the past or in the future, as recorded in the book of Revelation, is the permanence of salvation for Christians and the conditionality of salvation for everyone else. And so always keep that in mind. That is the difference. Now, many Christians will tell you, you can go to church Sunday, and if you go to their certain churches, they'll get up in the pulpit and say that a Christian can lose his salvation. If you don't keep coming to church or tithing or quit, if you start smoking or one of these kinds of things, well, you'll lose your salvation. Well, that's one of God's least favorite lies, because God, if you read the church epistles, he kind of goes wild about that lie, because what it does is it is a slap in the face to his dear son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who bled out his life so that we could be born again and have the guarantee of everlasting life, the righteousness of God in Christ. We are sanctified, justified, the price has been paid, it's all over, but the shouting. Now, just like a baby is born, he's complete, there he is, ready to grow. And so a Christian, after his new birth, is to grow in Christ. And that's what determines the quality of your life and the degree of rewards that you receive. So after the break, we'll talk about the first of four different subjects here. Each of them is fairly brief, and we elaborate on all of them in our forthcoming class. But the first one is money. You know, show me the money. What does the Bible say about giving money? And again, as with each of these topics, we're going to talk about giving money, baptism, observing the Sabbath, and titles in the church, like reverend and bishop and so forth. Where do these things come from? Where do the things Christians teach today come from? Do they come from Scripture written to Christians? Or do they come from Scripture written to people either in the past or the future?
Well, we got a lot of different questions to answer there, especially, you know, there's a lot of them, and we're going to get into it. I'm so glad we are today, because there's a lot of them. I know a lot of people have questions, of course, John, on tithing, and, you know, is it 10%? Is it 10% after this? Is that even correct, or is it if I give time as compared to money? What is the deal? And I know a lot of people, of course, you have the Seventh-day Adventists and different faiths and so on, and some believe that Saturday is the Sabbath. Some say that any day is the Sabbath as long as you take that one day and keep the seventh day holy for God. Or, you know, some say Sunday. So we're going to learn a lot about this with John Lynn. Don't forget, we're going to take ourselves a quick break here. TLTF.org is the website. You can go online there. They have so many classes on there. They have the End Times DVD. They have a brand new class that John just alluded to that's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be talking about some of these topics here. So you're going to want to get online and take advantage of that as well. But there's so much other learning material there and so much that you can get into to really help you understand. These guys have been around for quite some time, and they kind of have hung together. They've got some wonderful people that are involved. You've heard a lot of the testimonies from a lot of the great people from the Living Truth Fellowship. But do yourself a favor, whether it be right now, whether it be a little bit later today, go online, TLTF, that's ThomasLarryThomasFrank.org, and check out a lot of their great materials. You will learn, and learn more. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. We're coming back with our good friend John Lynn out in the great state of Indiana this morning, getting you through the hump day over the middle of it. What better way to pick you up, get you up and over the hump, than with a good kick in the butt from Jesus, right? I mean, what more could we ask for on a Wednesday? My name is Rob Eckno. So blessed to be with you. And I can't wait till we come back. We're going to get ourselves a wonderful education. Make sure you don't need to be recording the show. I've got it done for you. After the show, it'll be up on iTunes and also on demand here at Indy104.com. Also, rapid feed. So any one of those, you can continue to listen, continue to learn, download, and also go on their website at tltf.org. We're coming back right after these messages.
With great privilege comes great responsibility.
Carter Fleming, Community Center volunteer.
The giving spirit is as passionate in the boomers today as it was in our 20s, and we as a generation can still impact our country.
Lead, inspire, change the world again. Join thousands and find which volunteer opportunity is best for you. Call 1-800-424-8867 today or visit www.getinvolved.gov. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service and this station.
In today's market, either a business gets social or it gets left behind. Social media has given the customer a voice and has created the perfect opportunity for businesses to connect with their potential customers and clients and build lasting business relationships. Your potential customers are waiting for you. Contact Highway to Success today to discuss the best way to form relationships with them. Your competitors are already doing it. Contact Cynthia at 866-636-4696. Get social today by calling 866-636-4696. And keep listening to Indy 104 for information on the new Highway to Success show coming soon.
Are you looking for a speaker for your next event? Are you looking to improve your productivity, create a more positive working environment, or inspire your congregation to be all that they can be? Then you need to schedule talk show host, author, and motivational speaker Rob Eckno today. Whether speaking to a group of 20 or 20,000, Rob Eckno delivers a very powerful, energetic, and entertaining message that encourages and motivates his audiences to truly become their very best. On church podiums, Rob's preaching blends a mix of scripture and his life's experiences for a God-filled message that resonates deep in the hearts of those listening, motivating them to live meaningful, God-inspired lives. So don't wait. Now's the time to schedule Rob Eckno to speak at your next event. Call TS Management at 818-506-3640. That's 818-506-3640. And get ready to be all that you can be.
Live from Los Angeles, you're listening to In Your Face with Rob Eckno on Indy 104.
Welcome back into a wonderful Wednesday. So blessed to be with you today, and I am so glad that you are here with us because it is our time of the month. That is our good time of the month. We get our good friend John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship out in Indianapolis, Indiana. John brings us the facts from the Word, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. And John laid out kind of some groundworks here. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Some questions we're going to get into today. We've got three sections left. We're going to kind of break it up for you a little bit. And the first one, and just so you know, so you can stick around, because I'm sure you have these questions as well, we're going to talk about money and tithing. We're going to talk about baptism and being born again, Sabbath. What day is the Sabbath? Does it matter which one is the Sabbath? And also titles. Everybody's got a different title in the Christian world, but do they really have a function? Do they really have a purpose? What is the true meaning? We'll get into all of that. And John, I tell you what, you've got years of experience, thank God, because we need it, because there's so much to figure out, and people figuring out, you know, for the first time and just listening or reading a book once without truly understanding can get quite confusing, especially when it comes to tithing. Is that not correct?
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. And again, my claim to fame is simple. I was in the right place at the right time. Actually, I hate to say it, but 45 years ago, I was two. No, not really. But I heard truth set forth in a way that I had never heard it. And in this new class, One Day with the Creator, I'm doing my best, and all those who worked on this class, we all did our best, to convey, to pass on the same basic truth. We have refined it. We have learned more, of course, and gone beyond and can say things better than we did back in the day. But we hope you will take advantage of it. If you want truth, if you care. Now, you're going to be in a minority if you care about the truth. Because most people today, or many at least, in our postmodern society, they don't even believe there is such thing as truth. The very concept of truth is under assault. Because your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. That's insane, because without a standard beyond the mind of man, then life is nothing but a crapshoot. And who says? You say you're right, I say I'm right. So, like, Mao Zedong killed 50 million Chinese because he had the biggest gun, and so he got to be right. Well, what does the Bible say about tithing? And the answer is absolutely nothing if you read those parts of the Bible that are written to Christians today. There is absolutely nothing about tithing. Well, now, where does the Bible talk about tithing? Talks about it in the Old Testament, because tithing was a part of the Mosaic law for Israel. But Romans chapter 10 verse 4 says that Jesus Christ was the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe. And so, yes, in the Old Testament, God instituted what was called the tithe. Now, there's a lot of facts about the tithe that most Christians don't know. And one of them was that it was almost all based on agricultural products, animals, farm animals, and agricultural products. So if you had 10 cows, you gave one. But guess what? If you had 9, you did not give under that law. It was the 10th animal that passed under the rod, as they were counting them, that was consecrated to the Lord. And the Levites, who were kind of God's priests in the Old Testament, they were not allowed to own land, and so they lived off of, got to eat the food and so forth that the other people gave. And that would pertain today to genuine ministers of the gospel being paid. Now, how should they get paid? Not by extorting money out of people by telling them, well, if you don't give 10%, your house is going to be hit by lightning, or God's not going to like you. Believe me, I've heard people say things like that from the pulpit. And so then precious people who want to do the will of God give away their food money or their children's shoe money. I'm not making up any of these examples. I've been around for, as Rob said, a long time. So 10% was not even applicable to everyone in Israel in the Old Testament, but only in the Old Testament did God talk about the tithe, which means a tenth. And people who want to try to talk you into this, because if you could get to everybody in your church giving 10%, oh my gosh, you would have an awful lot of money. And then you get in a big fight, like Rob said, is it 10% before taxes or after? Hey, I'm going to show you what scripture written to you as a Christian says about giving. You can open your Bible after the show to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Those are the only two chapters that are a concentrated study on material giving. The only two written to Christians, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and I'll paraphrase some of it before we end this segment. The first thing we find is no specific amount whatsoever is prescribed. Chapter 9, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says that each of us, Christians, why? Because God wants relationship with us. So he wants you to work with him and with Christ and figure out what you want to give. Do you want to give 5% this week? Do you want to give 10%? Maybe you can't give anything this week. Hey, figure it out with him, because it says very clearly, let each give what he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Folks, I mean, come on. It's very hard to be a cheerful giver if someone is standing up there telling you, if you don't give 10%, something bad is going to happen. I don't think so. I think it's that would make it kind of, if you made a lot of money and the government took a lot of your money and gave it to someone who refused to work, you wouldn't like that at all. Well, it's kind of the same thing. So one of the key places that people will quote, if you are part of a church, they'll go to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, and they'll say that you are robbing God if you don't bring your tithe into the storehouse. Excuse me? The book of Malachi was written before Jesus was even born. It was all about Israel in the Old Testament, and if you read it, it specifically addresses the corrupt spiritual leaders of Israel who were ripping off the people just like the Pharisees of Jesus' time. Now, hey, we live in America. There's still a bit of a free enterprise system here. And that's what Christianity should be. Many churches should go out of business. Yes, I think so, because they have a shoddy product. What they teach doesn't work. Well, then how do they stay in business? Because people keep giving a tithe or something like that, because many of them give out of obligation. Don't ever give out of obligation. What is the biblical pattern? Very simple. You give in response to a blessing. Hey, if you get our class and you love it and you want other people to hear what you heard that revolutionized your life, well, I expect you'll send money to the Living Truth Fellowship. Oh, man, we hope you send $200 trillion, because we could use it to give away classes all over the world in third world countries where they can't afford it. We could do all kinds of things like that. And how you use your money is an incredibly concrete way of determining the priorities in your life and how much you trust God. And that's why there are gobs of verses about material giving. And so we have more on this on our website, but you give in response to a blessing, and you give cheerfully. You just, ha, 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 I love to give to bless someone, and then you can expect God to bless you back for doing it. It's like sowing and reaping. That's what 2 Corinthians says. The more you sow, the more you reap.
And John, quickly before we go to our break here, one question that I'm sure comes up with people is, you know, sometimes people are told that time is an okay thing if you're doing what you think is God's work, as compared to perhaps you don't have a lot of money, but you are giving of your time. Does that kind of work out in God's world or no?
Oh, sure, because, look, most people get money for giving time at a job, and you give them time, they give you money, and then you may share it with your church. But of course, there are other ways to give. You could give food to the church pantry for the needy. You could give time building a new wing on the church, a lot of things like that. The point is that when a Christian recognizes the incredible gift of Holy Spirit, the gift of Christ that's been given to him, then he is always looking to give, whether it's a smile or $200 trillion.
Well, $200 trillion wouldn't be bad right now, I'll tell you. Yes, we could all do a lot with that, but you know what? We do with what we have and continue on. And again, learning more and more about what the real truth is what we're all about today. John Lynn is our very special guest. Go online during the break at tltf.org. That's Thomas Larry, thomasfrank.org. We'll be back with more after this.
Like most parents, you probably see your child as the typical smart, well-adjusted kid.
Camouflage. C-A-M-O-U-F-L-A-G-E. Camouflage.
Well, your child might not be as well-adjusted as you think.
Issues. I-S-S-U-E-S. Issues.
And if you knew there was somebody in particular who could help your child?
Daddy. D-A-D-D-Y. Daddy.
Wouldn't you want them to help? Well, the truth is, Dad, you're that person. Just by being an involved dad and spending time with your child, you're taking an active role in your child's social and emotional well-being. You're also increasing their chances of succeeding academically and staying in school. So don't take for granted how normal and smart your child seems.
Balance. B-A-L-A-N-C-E. Balance.
Because children need fathers who love and care for them just as much as they need mothers. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, 100 Black Men of America, and the Ad Council. Call 1-800-790-DADS for free, helpful information.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
It's time to get back in your face with Rob Ekno on Indy 104.
Welcome back into a wonderful Wednesday. You know, I look at it this. If I'm this side of the grass, it's a wonderful day. No matter whether it's raining, snowing, crazy stuff out there with winds and all kinds of stuff. We had some of that yesterday and some snow, all kinds of good stuff. So wherever you are, it's an opportunity to do God's work, which means it's a good day. And our very special guest has been, like he says, he was just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Actually gave up a career with an opportunity to be in the front office with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And now with this big buy they just had, amazing chance that he would have had if he had stuck around, but instead dedicated his life to God. And it's worked out quite well for him. And you can hear the sense of peace, but also thanks to him for doing what he does and really studying the Word. He and his group, the Living Truth Fellowship.org, go online, check them out, because the truth is what we all need. And John, we talked about tithing and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 in the first section. Water baptism is something that a lot of people have questions with as well.
Absolutely. I grew up in a fairly tepid Protestant church, and they just sprinkled me. I was a baby, so I don't remember it, but I was told I was baptized. Now, again, what parts of the Bible are written to Christians? What parts are written to Israel or Jewish people in the Old Testament or in the future in the book of Revelation? That is the key to this topic, as it was to the topic of financial giving, and as it will be to the last two topics. What about the Sabbath, and what about titles like Reverend and so forth in the church? Now, what does the Bible say about water baptism? Absolutely nothing. If you read the church epistles of Paul, there is no mandate for Christians to put water on anyone. Is it in the Old Testament, water baptism? Absolutely. And it was not John the Baptist who originated water baptism. A lot of people think that because of his name, John the Baptist, because he baptized a lot of people, and then he baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. But where did John get that idea? He was a Jew. Hello. He got it from the entire Old Testament. When in the tabernacle had a basin of water at the entrance, the temple had holes cut in the steps leading up to the temple that had water in. There was a ceremonial cleansing prescribed over and over in the Old Testament. But the book of Hebrews clearly tells us, and so does the Old Testament, if we read it with understanding, that all of that simply pointed to Jesus Christ, who was going to baptize internal cleansing. It says right in Hebrews 7, 8, 9, 10 that water and the whole law of the Mosaic law was a shadow of good things to come and not the reality of those things. Now, what words have meanings, remember that? So what does it mean to baptize? Now, most people, when they hear the word baptize, what is it they think of? Water? Sure, water. Water. Instantly. Hey, wait a minute. How about coffee? Sure, because the word baptize means to dip, to dunk, or to immerse. That's all it means. Like you would soak a white piece of cloth in purple dye, and then it would be purple because you had baptized that piece of cloth. You may get a donut on the way to work tomorrow and baptize it in your coffee. And in the Bible, water is not the only element in which someone is dipped or immersed. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul specifically says, Jesus Christ did not send me to baptize. Why? Because water baptism was a part of the Mosaic law for Israel, and the shadow of things to come has been replaced by an internal cleansing. And if you read 1 Peter 3:21 and the verses right around that, you'll see it specifically says not the outer cleansing of the flesh, but the inner cleansing of a good conscience. Okay? So the word baptize is a verb, and it means to immerse or to dip. Okay? Now you need a noun to dip into. Could be water, could be motor oil, could be lemonade, could be coffee. So it's not, so get the word water out of your mind when you see baptize in the Bible. It does not always refer to water. So the question is, and it's a very good question, how come people in the early church, right after the day of Pentecost, baptized people in water? The answer is, they were all Jews formerly. All the people that got born again on the first day of the Christian church, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, they were former Jews. And if you come from a religious mindset where they're very fervent, that is just completely inbred in you, so to speak. You are steeped in that tradition, and it's very hard to get out of it, to change your mind. Okay? Now, same thing happens today. People read the book of Acts. Well, they read the Old Testament, then they read, well, Jesus got baptized. Now, it's interesting that Jesus never baptized anyone, even during his earthly ministry. His apostles baptized with water. Why? They're Jews. It was prescribed for Jewish people. Why did Jesus not baptize anyone with water? Because he was going to baptize people with an internal cleansing. And in the scriptures written to Christians, the term baptized with Holy Spirit or baptized in Holy Spirit is synonymous with being born again. It's a synonym. Born again, saved, baptized in the Spirit. Many Christians teach that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a second work that happens after your salvation, and that is a very, very distorted idea and not at all what the Bible says, and causes terrible strife and confusion and division in the Christian church. So 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that all of us, each of us as Christians, has been baptized in the Spirit. And so Christians today who argue for water baptism, now, then there are others say, well, you don't have to be dunked completely, you just have to be sprinkled. Well, and people through the years, way, way, way back, they fought and did bodily harm to one another fighting over this. None of it is relevant to Christian people. There is no mandate for Christians. Jesus and Paul and so forth never told Christians to baptize anyone with water. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, written to Christians, says there's one baptism. Now, in Acts chapter 1, before Jesus ascended, he said, yo, dudes, John, Acts 1, 4 and 5, John baptized with water, but, contrast, you will be baptized with Holy Spirit in a few days. What is Jesus trying to do? He's trying to clue them in that the lesser was being replaced with the greater. And every Christian today who argues for water baptism is arguing for a lesser possibility. Who wants a shadow when you can have the real person?
Well, absolutely. And lots of questions being answered here this morning, where hopefully you're getting yourself over the hump with the truth of the Living Word Fellowship is bringing it to us this morning. John Lynn, of course, our very good friend who's been here regularly with us throughout the last year and a half. It's been a wonderful journey, because every time that John is on, we seem to get ourselves some wonderful listeners. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing who comes out when the word is being portrayed. TLTF.org is where you want to go online. They have a new class coming out, One Day with the Creator. New class coming out. It'll be out in just a couple of weeks. Is that not correct, John?
Yeah, maybe 3 weeks. We hesitate to say exactly, but it is at the duplicating company. All the final cogs are moving.
All right, so it is moving. If you've heard the commercial here on our show as well, End Times video, and obviously 2012 was not the end of time, but it gives you so much perspective on what's going on. The bottom line is that it tells us in the Bible that no man shall ever know. And, you know, you get all these people out there trying to make a buck off of, you know, predicting the end of time, and this calendar is going to blow this up and so on and so forth. But the reality is, that's why we bring fellows on like John Lynn and Paul and Robert and Larry and all the wonderful people as part of the Living Truth Fellowship. We bring them on because we want to know about what the word is, what its true meaning is. Because if you're like me, you will read stuff and then you'll have to go back and read it and read it and read it again until you finally figure out, hey, this is what it might mean. And then even though I still may not understand it, to have somebody that kind of grasps it a little bit better, a little bit more intensely, and to be able to sit back and listen, to watch a class on DVD, to put a CD in the player while you're driving to work, all kinds of great educational tools are available to you. TLTF.org. We're going to come back and finish up talking about the Sabbath and all kinds of good stuff.
Not all criminals carry a gun or a knife. Some simply need to pick up the phone or ring a doorbell. In times like these, senior citizens are often the targets of con artists, hawking shady investment deals and phony charities. Be wary of strangers in your neighborhood soliciting services or asking for money. Many cons come in the way of phony home repair services. These thieves offer major home repairs at bargain prices, but they end up taking your money and never finishing the work. Don't become a victim. Be skeptical of offers that are too good to be true. Never allow anyone to force you to sign something, and never give personal information to people you don't know. Get estimates and never pay in advance. If you suspect fraud, get the contractor's license plate number and call the police immediately. If something doesn't seem right, it's probably not. Protect yourself. Visit ncpc.org to learn more. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Council, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Rob Ekno. Can you honestly say that you're happy with the shape of America today? If you're as frustrated as I am, then please join me in helping to return our great country to its glory. I've written a book called God Bless America, Before It's Too Late, When you get your copy, it'll have you thinking about what contributions you may have had in shaping our country today, and to get us all to realize the differences and positive effects each of us can have on returning America to being all that it can be. So please go online now at robecno.com to order your copy of God Bless America before it's too late, and be a part of an even better tomorrow. That's robecno.com to order your copy now. Thanks for your support, and have a super blessed day.
More In Your Face with Rob Ecknow happens now on Indy 104.
Welcome back. We are having a very enlightening conversation this morning with our very good friend, Mr. John Lynn of the Living Truth Fellowship. Go online. They're going to be having a new class coming out in a few weeks. Just go online and you'll find out exactly when it'll be here, 2-3 weeks, somewhere in that area. Could be a little bit longer, just depends. You know how that happens in the electronic world, right? But it's all set, ready to go. It's being duplicated, and it's just a matter of getting it all up and getting it all out there for you. One Day with the Creator is going to be the new class. You'll want to go online, get out the information on that. Also, all of the other great DVDs and CDs and just teachings that they have available on their website, tltf.org. John Lynn is out in the great state of Indiana, out in Indianapolis, and we've gone through tithing. We've gone through the importance or significance, or if there really needs to be a water baptism, and all of this stuff. You can go back online on demand at Indy 104 and also on iTunes and Rapid Feeds. Download all of this great information that John's providing for us and all of the other wonderful folks that are guests here on our show. And John, we're going to kind of wrap up the last segment. We got a couple of subjects to touch on. One is, you know, people talk about the Sabbath day, and is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Can it just be any day? And then also, there's so many people that you go around like Facebook or something, you see everybody's got a title. And, you know, I know you're going to get into that too, talking about what do the titles mean? Are they any significance, you know, and all of that good stuff. But the Sabbath day, John, some claim obviously Saturday, some claim Sunday, some will tell you just as long as you take one day during the week and dedicate it to God, you're okay. Tell us the truth.
Well, what you want to know is, what does the Bible say? And as we've been talking the whole program, what does it say to Christians as opposed to what it said to people in the Old Testament? And so, most people are familiar with the Ten Commandments. That's Exodus chapter 20. You find the Ten Commandments. To whom were the Ten Commandments given? They were given to Israel. Moses went up on the mountain a bunch of times, broke the first two tablets, five each apparently, and came back down. It's interesting, and you may have never heard this before, but a dill pickle can keep eight of the Ten Commandments. Absolutely. Don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery, etc., etc. Why is that? Because the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ came and died and rose so that Christians could receive the wonderful gift of Holy Spirit and permanent salvation, it was more about what you could not do than what you can and could do. And that's all changed for you and me. Now, are any of the Ten Commandments reiterated in the church epistles of Paul? Absolutely. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. All of those things are reiterated. But there are two of them that are not, and one of them is remember the Sabbath and so forth. Most people do not know that the word Sabbath means rest, rest, rest. It means get on the couch, put your feet up, and rest one day. God rested on the seventh day in the book of Genesis, and so he prescribed a day of rest. It was not a day of religious celebration. It was a day of rest, and that's not a bad idea. I don't know that I adhere to it probably as much as I should, because I'm working most all the time, but God had a reason for that, okay? So, in the Old Testament, yes, Saturday, what we would call Saturday, was the Sabbath. Then a church came along later on, made it Sunday, and people have been fighting and arguing. And it's all ridiculous because neither day has any significance for Christians. Colossians chapter 2, you can read it sometime. It specifically says that there are no special days for Christians. Why? Because every day is a celebration of Jesus Christ and what God has done for us in Him. So the Sabbath was for Israel. It was a day of rest. It has absolutely no significance whatsoever to Christians. If you want to rest for a day, rest. If you don't want to rest, don't rest. If you want to go to a building and hear the Bible on Sunday, fine. If you want to go Saturday, fine. If you want to go Wednesday night, fine. Has no relevance to Christians today. And the last topic we want to cover quickly, and we have a new thing, a new part on our website going up. It's called 50 Good Questions and 50 God Answers. And these questions are all covered in here. And this one is, what does the Bible say about titles in the church, like Reverend, Bishop, Cardinal, Pope, Apostle, all of these things? Once again, we're 4 for 4 on the show here. I could hit for the Dodgers, 4 for 4. That would be pretty good. Every one of these topics is completely irrelevant to Christians. Tithing has nothing to do with Christianity. Water baptism has nothing to do with Christianity. The Sabbath has nothing to do with Christianity. And neither do titles in the church, because there is no scripture verse anywhere in the church epistles that prescribes a titles or a hierarchy. Now, in the Old Testament, yes, you had the Jewish religious hierarchy, the high priest, the Levites, etc., etc. But listen to Jesus, even, and he came in a culture that was rife with pagan titles. All pagan religions have high priest and this and that. And Jesus said, hey, you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master. You're all brothers. And don't call anyone on earth father. That's what the word pope means. Papa, pope, father. Jesus said, hey, knock it off. For you have one father, and he is in heaven. And you have some really good books today that make the point very clearly that although the Greeks and the Jews in the Old Testament employed many titles for their religious leaders, the early Christian church specifically avoided those. They called people brother, beloved, fellow worker, laborer, servant, fellow soldier. Now, in Ephesians 4, you have prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But they're not titles, they're functions. I met so many people overseas. I'm Pastor so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so. Finally, I said, well, I don't know if your first name is Pastor or not. If that's what your mother called you growing up, it may be. But if not, that's not your first name. And the scripture for Christians, what is that? It never encourages that, because what is the result? Division, some people rising above others, a few people doing all the work while everyone else just sits around. And you can read this in many, many good books about Christianity today. Nonetheless, all over the television, all over the Christian church, you got Reverend so-and-so and Apostle so-and-so and this and that. Now, ordination was a recognition of service. It wasn't just you get a piece of paper because you went to school and now you can boss people around. We ordain people because in this culture, if you are a reverend, you can get into prisons and hospitals and so forth, but we would never use that as a title that you have to call me reverend. You can call me John. That's my name, and that is what the Bible talks about for Christian people, not to flaunt some title. You earn respect by serving people.
Wow, I'll bet you a lot of people are a little bit mystified as to that answer there, as far as, you know, well, yeah, but you got to call. It's kind of like being on a movie. If nobody's the director, but you know, people go to church on Sunday and they look forward to the pastor. And basically, think about it, John. A lot of people treat the pastor as if he were God, which probably isn't the way they should treat him, correct?
Yeah. No, he's a brother, and he has a function. And if he does it right, then the Bible says he's worthy of double honor. But if you study the book of Acts, there wasn't ever one guy running the show in a place. They had a plurality of elders, and that's what we try to do in the Living Truth Fellowship. We have 5 trustees and 31 elders, and we have a lot of ears and eyes weighing in on things, and none of them are afraid to tell me that they think I'm wrong. And so we try to come to a consensus and work together with love and humility.
Well, what a great way to end the show. John Lynn, our very special guest, and getting us over this hump day Wednesday. Great to have you on again, John, as always. We're going to talk to John again in about 4 weeks or so. And again, we'll have some other wonderful members from the Living Truth Fellowship, because we'd like to learn not only, you know, some of God's miracles and testimonies, but we most importantly want to hear the truth. John, thanks so much. TLTF.org. Catch John and all of the wonderful people. Have yourself an amazingly blessed day, John.
Thank you, Rob. Love you, and God bless all of you out there.
Oh, we love you too, man. What great wisdom after 45 years of just being in the right place at the right time. And the question is, where has God put you right now? You are probably in the right place at the right time, but are you catching on to what your mission is? Maybe get on your knees today and ask God for a little direction, what you can do for him, and get out of yourself today if you're kind of caught up in that way, as John and I were for many years, and we learned that it didn't work all that well. TLTF.org is the place to be. TLTF, that's Thomas Larry, ThomasFrank.org. My name is Rob Ecknow. So blessed to be able to have brought you this show today, courtesy of God. We leave you now with someone who is stepping out, living in a little faith. We all need a little more of that, right? Tommy Brandt and his award-winning sounds. God bless to you and yours.
Every day I hear folks talking about what they believe, how they trust in God with the faith of a mustard seed. They have no doubts until those stormy seas begin to roll. They act like they're about to drown. They're all but a losing hope. Well, Jesus said you will receive if only you will ask. But if your walk is not your talk, then brother, you're sinking fast. Now you can't use it until you prove it. You gotta let go and let God have full control. Really believe in everything you're preaching. If you want to walk on water, you got to step on out of the boat. Daniel knew in the lion's den the Lord was on his side, for an angel came to keep him safe until the morning light. David slayed the giant with one stone, because he knew all he had to do was aim and God would see it through. Faith can free you from your fears, but if you have a guest, even the most righteous man must put it to the test. Now you can't use it until you prove it. You gotta let go and let God have full control. Really believe in everything you're preaching. If you want to walk on water, you've got to step on out of the boat. Until you prove it, you gotta let go and let God have full control. Really believe in everything you're preaching. If you wanna walk on water, step on out of the boat. Come on, what are you afraid of? Step out of the boat. Have a about.